This episode of the E-Commerce Playbook podcast is brought to you by Soral. Build your influencer marketing program on autopilot with a simple workflow for everything from gifting to paid campaigns. Try it out for free at getsoral.com/champions/CTC or with the link in the show notes.
Welcome back to another episode of the State of the Industry Report here, brought to you by the D2C Index. I'm joined, as always, by the four contributing partners of the D2C Index. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just one second, but I know you are going to love this episode because we have been surrounded by chatter. There is noise out there. Is Meta broken? Did the Super Bowl make an impact? What happened with Valentine's Day? Is e-commerce dying? We're going to find out right now. And to tell us are these four amazing gentlemen who are each going to explain who they are, what data they're contributing to remind you, and give a little bit of insight into the kind of information they're going to provide you. And I'm going to kick it off with Jeremiah Premer, CEO of KnoCommerce. Who are you and what is the data that you are presenting?
Hey, I'm Jeremiah Premer, CEO of KnoCommerce. We'll just start there. So we work with 3,500 plus brands collecting, I believe last year it was 90 million questions answered on our platform. So lots of data. We are looking at a few specific data points in this report and in each report. To be very clear, fully aggregated, anonymized, disconnected from any individual person, any individual brand, and looking at large data sets. So I know we had some questions about that on the last episode. I just want to be very clear about that. And none of this is actually merged with any of the other data. We're all kind of coming at this from different perspectives and saying, okay, here's what we're seeing. How does that resonate with everybody? What are we seeing that validates that, challenges that? And that's kind of the way that we're looking at all this data. So yeah, that's what we do. And really excited for some of the stuff that we've got in this report.
And the man causing us all to hedge our data introductions, Mr. Wyatt Mayhem.
If you're mad, it's because it's right. We have consumer spending data sourced from credit and debit card spending, you know, get your competitors' revenue, you know, get a market overview. If you're an e-commerce brand, source of good stuff there for D2C companies.
All right. And the man who's going to get a lot of attention this month, because there was a lot of questions about Meta performance. Yarden, who are you and why do you have the answer to that question?
Hey, yeah, I'm CEO of Veros. Basically, we solve for 6,000 brands. They're looking at a lot of data. They're trying to understand it. Is it good? Is it bad? If there's a spike in data this month, there's, you know, a lot of talk about Meta breakage and stuff. Is this, you know, drop in ROAS or increase in CPM due to me or due to the market? We have that data because we are anonymous first party data co-op. So companies share data with us. We aggregate, we anonymize, we tag that data, and then we show it back. So 6,000 brands, $6 billion of ad spend across Meta, Google, TikTok, LinkedIn, and then, you know, track GA4 and Shopify as well. I'm giving all those insights on an overview of, you know, what's going on in e-commerce and on a category basis.
Awesome. And last but not least is the man representing the Direct Consumer Confidence Index, as well as doing a lot of the insight generation for us. Steve, who are you and what are you contributing in this project?
Yeah, I'm Steve Recook, Senior Data Analyst at Common Thread Collective. And I look at data from Statless.io, a much smaller set than Yarden. We have around $3 billion in annual revenue from that. And then I'm looking at survey data that Jeremiah provides from the DTCCI, our survey to see consumer sentiment about the economy, about their own spending. And then coordinating those two data sets, I'm able to calculate a consumer confidence index every week and publish that out as part of the DTCCI.
So it's great to have all of you back. We are going to spend this episode giving a little glimpse into the issue that will drop tomorrow. Today, we are recording on Wednesday, March 13th. So trying to tighten the cycle loops where we can get this data processed and out to you all. Thank you to everyone who signed up. It was an awesome launch. We've got a great group of initial people. And one of the benefits of being in the initial cohort of customers is that you're helping to inform the data. So we expanded, as we said, from the hot 60 to a hot 100. A lot of those were recommendations from you all. And then we received requests for some data inputs in this edition from we've got some awesome people there. We've got everybody from Google's inside of this thing to lots of brand leaders, and it's been a great group of people to interact with so far. So we're very excited. And what I'll say is that this month, to me, reflects why we created this program. If you existed in the Twitter community, you probably think that the world is collapsing and that the end of D2C is upon us and no one will ever make money on Facebook again, because that's what it feels like out in the world. Did you guys get that sentiment? Like, how did you all see and interact with this, the noise surrounding e-commerce performance this month?
I don't know if I felt it on that level, but I definitely felt it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely from like a meta level, it's like end of the world type issues. And for what it's worth, like Veros logins have kind of spiked to start checking these things intraday and getting like customer support tickets of, hey, the thing hasn't loaded in an hour or two, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, make it more real time. So people are quite on edge.
If I put my tinfoil hat on, Yarden, I would actually say that you have an incentive for Meta to get screwed up. Because if anybody's in there trying to break in and tinker with the algorithm, it might be you. Because I got to imagine, I know that I was like tagging you in a bunch of Twitter threads being like, Yarden, tell these people to calm down. Give them the information. Show them what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. One day they'll know to just, you know, log in and what.
I think
one day everyone will know, but yeah, for now I just gotta be, you know, we all gotta be better at fielding those Twitter posts.
That's right. So, well, the good news is we're going to give you a little insight into what exactly happened on Meta this month as we look and understand what was really a tale of two halves, I think, in terms of what we saw happening on Meta in February. But Wyatt, we're also going to use you to take a look at some exciting transaction data related to the Super Bowl. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're able to do in looking at transaction data? Don't give away the information yet, but just talk about how we were able to analyze some of the commercial performance.
Yeah, just... we took a look at some of the major advertisers. I think everyone saw Temu ads, you know, too many times after the first one. And then also looked at Elf, Etsy, and just tried to see, is this worth it? And, you know, you'll find out here shortly. But yeah, we looked day by day, like, was there a spike the day after? Was there a spike the day of? How did that trend continue over time? We work a lot in the sports space, so this is very close to home to us. And we'll look at how that kind of advertising compares to sports partnerships themselves, because the revenue driven is very, very different.
Awesome. And Steve, you're going to, of course, take us into the glimpse of the more macro consumer trends. And we're going to bring to life a little bit of an analysis that has to do with debt as well as the DTCCI. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was kind of prompted by a paper that you pointed out, Taylor, that you showed me, and great read about how consumer price index didn't include the cost of capital and how that actually impacts people probably more these days because we've seen an increase in debt.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're going to cover a bunch and give you a little teaser of the episode, but of course, go to ddcindex.com, sign up. It'll be in your inbox tomorrow. You'll also have access to the archive of the previous editions, so you'll get January 2 when you sign up. So it's not like you only get here for. We're going to start archiving all of those for you so you can go back and look at how the edition is evolving over time. We also have some really exciting stuff in store in the future here related to more data partners, potentially expanding to custom research projects and other things. So get in now, get a part of this community and go from there. But as we start today, we cannot look at February without looking at Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day ranks as the fifth largest consumer moment of the year after Black Friday, Cyber Monday, holiday, Mother's Day, and Father's Day. So people like to spend. And Jeremiah, we're going to come to you. You kicked it off with an analysis of understanding when does gifting occur? Because one of the questions you all ask in a post-purchase survey is, who was this gift for? And so this gives you a real clear trend line related to exactly when people start purchasing for significant others. So without giving it away, what did we learn in that process and what can people look forward to in the newsletter?
Yeah, so February data, not a surprise because we have a statistically significant data set here, but it actually matched very closely with what we saw in 2023. So we'll break all that down and kind of look at the timeline of that gifting as well. I think I was a little bit surprised by both the length of it and also like the peaks of that experience. So yeah, it was really good insight. And because we are seeing that really strong year over year trend, this is definitely something you'll want to be looking at. And as you're starting to look at, you know, obviously we're past Valentine's Day for 2024, and it's early in the year, but once you get towards the end of the year, you start looking at like your planning for 2025. I think this kind of insight is going to be really, really valuable for you. And we're pretty confident at this point in where we think we'll be able to predict those moments of gifting in other times. So that's something, I don't know if we want to touch on that here or not, Taylor, but we've got a little bit of information here on in March, what we're looking at, and also looking ahead towards Mother's Day and when you should start to be looking at those gifting moments over the next couple of months.
And what this data does, like, so as an organization, one of the things that I love about this information is that CTC has a responsibility for forecasting daily revenue. We also do things like design email send schedules for people. And so being able to look and be able to answer definitively, when is the moment when most people are buying for their significant other, is a superpower. Like, I don't have to argue internally. I don't have to debate with anyone. I just say, we're going to send the email here. We're going to have this promotion at this moment. It's going to end right here. And I can accurately and definitively state what the behavior is, right? And so this is such a great way. And as I now I start to look out into March, which we know are the third and fourth biggest moments, Mother's Day, Father's Day in early May, we begin to look at and go, okay, I can now begin to design a marketing calendar and action around this information and data. So super useful to be able to see this visually and to see that it's consistent year over year. So I'm not guessing at all.
Yeah. I'll also add on this data. So, you know, I saw Jeremiah's data and I try to correlate it back to Veros in terms of ad spend. Like, are people, you know, are we seeing the in same days when there's an increase in gifting and in purchases that Jeremiah is seeing, are people increasing, are companies increasing on the ad spend side? And something that I saw as interesting is we're basically totally correlated with Jeremiah's data until you get to February 12th and 13th. So, like, let's say from February 5th up until February 11th, both KnoCommerce and Veros are seeing big spikes in terms of, you know, Veros seeing spend, Jeremiah is seeing, you know, this gifting stat going up. But KnoCommerce keeps going up February 12th, February 13th, where the ad spend plummets on the 12th and 13th, which kind of makes sense, right? Because, you know, maybe they're not going to ship it in time before the holiday, but people are still buying online. You know, KnoCommerce data is post-purchase on e-commerce data. So there are these purchases, but people are losing spend. And it does look like there's that opportunity to maybe push spend out another day or two to really capitalize on those trends. So people, I don't think, know the fact of what Noah's giving here.
Yeah, so totally. I was just going to say, I completely agree. I was a little bit surprised at the fact that the gifting continues to happen even after the ad spend is dropping off. So that was cool. Yeah.
So this is going to be a shameless plug for a methodology that I believe in a lot, but this is why cost controls are as an effective form of media buying are so important, is because the idea that you can predict the available volume in any one of these days accurately if you have a fixed budget is almost impossible. And that's before you even got access to this data. But what it's showing you is that in the Veros data, I'm looking at the newsletter now, what increases substantially is revenue and spend, but efficiency remains constant in most cases, because people are pressing up the available inventory, their CPM and conversion rate tend to move together, right? So that leads to an efficiency constant, but the volume increase is what happens, right? And so to take advantage and benefit from this, you have to have variable volume available to you in your ad account relative to each day. And if you don't, if you have a fixed amount of budget every day, you're not going to necessarily reap the same benefit in the same way. So super important. Again, always what we want to do here is take a data insight and apply it into a tactic. How do you actually take advantage of the information? So Valentine's Day is a good sign. So you'll notice we're talking about Meta, we're talking about spend. In the first half of the month, things are looking pretty good. We're on a nice track. Revenue's up year over year. Meta performance is good. But before we get to the back half, let's jump back to the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl lands on February 11th, right near that Valentine's Day cutoff. And we all watched, we tuned in and watched Temu air four different versions of the commercial. And then if you're anything like me, you're always looking for the e-commerce or consumer brands that are going to take that big swing. This year, we saw e.l.f. Cosmetics, we saw Poppy come through. And we wanted to go back and use the Castmetrics data to say, what happened on a direct response basis? Now, I'm going to caveat that these brands may have larger initiatives as it relates to retail and other distribution that can be impacted. And we're only looking exclusively at direct response revenue. And we're going to let Jeremiah talk about why the story might not totally be written yet in terms of the outcome here so far. But just why, without giving away the whole thing, thumbs up or thumbs down, how did these Super Bowl commercials look for both e.l.f.?
We talk a lot about good and bad UGC, but if you want a streamlined way to do the good kind of UGC, which is product seeding, then look no further than Soral. If you're still using a spreadsheet to save creator profiles for influencer management, you will love this Chrome extension that comes with Soral. You can see engagement rates, like projections, and their fair price without even leaving their profile. and you can add them to your creator CRM with one click. And that's just step one. You can search for influencers, send personalized outreach emails, manage your relationships, and track performance all in one place. Sound too good to be true? See for yourself with Soral's free trial. Just go to getsoral.com/champions/CTC or click the link in the show notes.
Yeah, Taylor, so for the Super Bowl ads, we looked at three distinct players, Temu, Elf, and Etsy. And it's not uncommon for these types of initiatives to, you know, not do super well. And we saw a little bit of a bump in terms of the next couple days, but nothing that was really out of the ordinary on a week over week level necessarily. The actual revenue, yeah, definitely subscribe to, you know, kind of see how that impact was. But we work with a ton of companies in the brand partnerships with sports teams. That is really how we got our start. That's our bread and butter. And you'll see over time, like, how the affinity with a certain brand, when you're really a fan of that team, you can really see like revenue year over year, really starting to see nice chunks of market share being gained amongst those fans in a local market. And I think one of the things that we see with these big partnerships and with something like the Super Bowl that has millions and millions of eyes watching who really aren't necessarily fans of these teams anyway, or, you know, maybe not even a regular watcher of the NFL in general, it's hard to really expect a giant jump from any of these things really in a short amount of time. I think Jeremiah, like Taylor was kind of teasing, you know, has, you know, maybe some counterpoints to that, but in terms of like short-term bump, I wouldn't say it was super substantial.
So yeah, Yarden, I don't want to speak too much on your behalf, but I think both of us were not very pleased with the numbers that we saw there. And so we started digging in. Yarden looked at the Google search trends, and so there's some of that stuff we looked at, and that's interesting to see. But then the other thing that we just pulled in from actually our report that we put out last year, our 2023 recap report, was looking at time to purchase for people who discover a brand on TV. And so we pulled in some of that data. Our hypothesis is essentially that the impact of that takes some time. You're probably not going to see all of the impact happening day one, minute one, as soon as the Super Bowl airs. So there, we put a little bit of analysis in there for you to be able to take a look at that as well. But yeah, I think it was very interesting data. Very happy to have been able to see it. And we're excited to see what y'all think about it.
Yeah. And to validate that point, I think I would encourage you when you look at these graphs to look at day of impact, which is also there. And then I think the strongest case here was Temu's 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after transaction volume around the Super Bowl, where that lagging value capture that Jeremiah is talking about start to show up in a way that is meaningful. And so no full story is told in any single graph is what I would say. We don't know that Elf intended to drive direct response media. We don't know that Sephora revenue didn't explode. We don't know any of that. All we're giving you is a glimpse into the direct response transaction volume on their .com in a very short period of time. So all those appropriate caveats, go see for yourself what kind of impact that made. Okay, now we made you sit through that so you could get to the part that you're all just here to scream about. You've been yelling at the sun all month and the wind and upset because you experienced Meta to be broken. And so, Yarden, I'm going to come to you with this one. Was Meta, in fact, broken in February?
It started to break. Yes, there was breakage in Meta. Statistically significant breakage in Meta starting on February 20th. You start to see significant ROAS deterioration. Up until then, February was fine. You know, not a great month, not a terrible month, just like a normal month. And then you started seeing, you know, pretty significant drops from a ROAS perspective. Something that we have really liked to look at here at the DC index is the correlation, you know, Taylor talked about it before, between CPM and conversion rate and the month over month change of that. So basically, Meta has been unbelievable at, even when the CPMs go up, the conversion rate is going up with it. And so they're able to keep the actual, you know, ROAS metrics and, you know, that end of funnel metrics relatively stable. So even when, you know, the cost and eyeball goes up, it doesn't mean that the cost of the purchase is actually going to go up in the same ratio. But, and the whole point of this discovery is to find when that correlation slips, that means that there's a problem. That means that there's a problem and, you know, it's kind of out of Meta's control. And this is what we saw in that February 20th period until the end. You really see in that part, it's the first time we saw it in a good amount of time, that CPM is jumping and conversion rate is going down at that same time. And that is really what's causing the problem. Now, for that, I will say that it's not horrible. You know, this isn't 50, we're not talking, you know, 50% ROAS drops here, right? We're talking, you know, 10% in total, the month ended down 7% ROAS. And, you know, in that period, it was obviously down more significantly, but not majorly. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't advertisers that were affected, you know, very majorly. But if you look at the whole story, it's not that the world is ending. And, you know, this will come back. It will come back. But even now, the situation is not terrible for most advertisers. It's bad. And there's breakage for sure. But it's probably not as bad as what you're seeing, Twitter.
And the key is, right, that specific outcomes differ than aggregate ones, right? In the sense that in specific cases, there may be people down 50%. I listened to Matt Bertelli today talk about on the operators pod that he's down like 500% or his CPMs went up 500% and his CPAs were through the roof to the point that he turned off the platform altogether. So within a large data set, there are individual stories like that. So we're not diminishing anyone's individual experience, but we are trying to give you a view on what happened in Meta in entirety. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that the key here is, and this matches, I think, anecdotally with what people are saying, is that CPM moved not in congruence with conversion rate. And that tends to lead to an experience that is inefficient, right? Now, there's also a weird little moment of arbitrage that seemed to happen one day too, where CPMs dropped and conversion rates went up and ROAS spiked too. So it's clear that the system, there's something that is not connected in those ways, that the market dynamic where those two things are related is out of whack and hasn't totally resolved. It looks like the last couple of days of the month, it didn't, but we're still hearing some of that spillover in March. So we'll have that data. So if you're having that experience, feel validated, but also understand that the relative impact on the scale here is not business destroying. That's not what we're talking about. So keeping that in mind, and we go through all the numbers in detail throughout the report. So go in and take a deep dive there. The last thing I want to ask you, Yarden, as it relates to overall revenue impact for the month then. When we look at the industry growth as a whole, for both seven and eight figure store owners, is the macro, are we growing? Is revenue growing year over year? How are we looking despite those challenges?
Yeah. February overall, from a business perspective, was a good month. I mean, this month we broke it down by seven figure brands and eight figure plus brands, or eight to nine figure brands in Veros. You know, just a reminder, this is from hundreds, if not thousands of brands, just this data. And so, you know, revenue for seven figure brands was up 20% in February on a year over year basis. And for eight to nine figure brands, it's up 5%. And, you know, returning revenue is pulling harder, you know, 38% up for seven figure brands and 8% up for eight to nine figure brands versus 12 and three for respectively. But yeah, I mean, things are growing. Things were positive. February Valentine's Day was a, you know, success for on an aggregate.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I always think about is that I go back to the e-commerce industry growth rate pre-COVID. Like, how much was e-commerce as a percentage of retail growing annually before that massive explosion? And it was about 15% annual growth. So one of the things I always try and benchmark for my brain is that if e-commerce is capturing more and more percentage of retail, and that trend line, which has seemed to normalize now post-COVID, that 15% is sort of this thing where I think, is that more growth than expected or less growth than expected? So between five at the eight figures and 20, it's sort of like, we're in the neighborhood of the expected growth rate of e-commerce using that framework. So for you as a store owner out there listening, I think that this is that thing where you can sort of contextualize your growth relative to that kind of benchmark where you can say, hey, everyone, if you want to, as a leader, grab this and affirm your growth relative to that expectation, or hey, recognize that that was a little softer month. Maybe you didn't get to year over year growth. Maybe you, so it's not massive growth. No one's growing, like some people are growing obviously a ton, but that gives you a little bit of context for both 7 and 8 figure store owners that I think is really helpful. So, and Steve, we'll use that to jump off to then, as we're zooming seemingly out from really narrow meta results into broader industry results to now a view of the macro economy, which you're kind of always interested in, or at least our economy that we exist in on the D2C side of things. How is the consumer feeling as it relates to the consumer confidence index? And how do you think that relates to the cost of capital and the data that you were describing as it relates to debt?
Yeah, I think we've seen more recent weeks, kind of the beginning of March, I was seeing it kind of tick up. But in general, consumer confidence was kind of on the decline during February. They were coming down off of a holiday high, essentially. And there was an interesting report that you brought up that we spoke about, how the cost of capital is not included in CPI. And not only has that increased, obviously interest rates going up, mortgage rates climbing, but at the same time, household debt, total household debt was at its highest level in Q4 of 2023. They haven't published 2024 yet because Q4 is not finished. But household debt was at $17.5 trillion, and obviously the majority of that in mortgages. But when consumers have a lot of debt and the cost of that debt is high, then that's going to be reflected on their inability to spend, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. And one of the charts I'd like to examine here that I think can be hard to initially understand is this question that we ask in the survey through Know about, are they planning to spend more in the present and the future and the spread between those things? So there's a graph that we put in the chart that is an example of the percent spread between spending more or less in the future. And so can you give us a little bit about what that question is, what it's attempting to explore, and then what the results are that we're seeing in February?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an extremely interesting question. It was taken kind of from the original consumer confidence survey, and they were always asking about present spending and future spending. In our case, we actually saw the lowest value that we've recorded in the survey for present spending in February. So that is indicative of consumers kind of pulling back more. They are increasing in anticipated future spending, meaning that number finally ticked up from lows in December and January. The post-holiday, people were kind of planning on pulling back on their finances and spending. And that showed in February, particularly toward the beginning of the month. And I think the uptick in future spending means that they're still anticipating spending going into the future. So I think we're going to see more of that. That's kind of the uptick we saw just prior to a much larger uptick prior to Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Everyone was anticipating spending a lot more then.
What I love about this chart is that if you lay it over like the actual consumer experience that we see in e-commerce, present spending spikes in November and December. Like everybody is aware and consciously declaring that they intend to spend now, and future spending declines. They say we're spending now and not in the future, right? And then alternatively, what we see right now is that we see a massive decrease in present spending. Everyone's like, not right now. Now is not the moment. And for many brands, February is usually a really soft e-com month. It's not a great e-com month, but we're starting to see, okay, future spending though, yeah, I have a little bit more intention for that coming. And so we use this report to gauge the future, to start to get a sense of how might March be. So with the signals you're seeing, I think we saw an increase in the DTCCI the last February. We saw an increase in that blue trend line. Give us a little bit of a feeling about March. How would you expect March to land as you look forward based on what the consumer is telling you?
Yeah, I was seeing an uptick in the consumer confidence. Mainly, even though we saw present spending at the lowest level we've recorded in DTCCI, people were still spending. They still had an increase in revenue across brands year over year. And the anticipated future spending means that they're going to be spending more. And that's why when I calculate out the DTCC, I was coming up at like 103.2 is my most recent reading. And that's relative to like the average of 100 being the normal. And I think we're getting back to kind of a spring thaw where people are looking to spend money for spring breaks they have coming up for their household as things get warmer, for everything else.
And that's the highest recorded number I'm looking right now, Steve, going all the way back to May of 2023. Like, so it's a pretty strong. So we've got declaration of higher intended future spending. We've got higher confidence. The other thing that I'm always surprised by right now is that we have seen a continued response to the sentiment about the economy, where we ask people just generally what their view of the economy is. And the spread between negative or better or worse continues to rise. It was a slight dip in February versus January, where January was kind of an all-time high. So there's this like combination of factors where people feel generally good about the economy. February, they didn't intend to spend. So it's not like that's surprising necessarily. But now they're declaring that they might be in the future. So we're hopeful, I guess. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, all of this, I think, puts together a really interesting set of information. And even more in the D2C index, you're going to get a view of how Amazon performed in the month. You're going to get the whole D2C Hot 100 that we break down. Wyatt, any teasers from the Hot 100 that you want to give out? Maybe a couple brands that we added that weren't in the initial batch that are, you know of offhand?
Yeah, I would say there's one thing that I will call out. The Mark, man, what the MKBHD? How the hell do you, Marquez Brownlee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so out of touch. But that partnership with Ridge, we're going to take a look into. You know, it got really, really big on, you know, e-commerce Twitter. Was that a bubble of ours, or was it, you know, revenue driving right away? So we're gonna dive into that. A lot of other good brands in here that we added, Magic Spoon, Lomi, a lot of great brands in here. So definitely check it out. See how Exter is standing up next to Ridge. That's always a fun one. So yeah, there's some good brands in there.
I love the checking Twitter versus reality concepts. I think, you know, that was going on with Solo Stove, right? In the past month, some angry, you took one side there. I feel like I saw glimpses of that, but. Yeah. I love proving those things out of like what is, because, you know, obviously we've seen a million times if creative is like looks beautiful and things like that, that's actually not necessarily what works and things like that. And so I think there's a lot of examples to sort of prove right or wrong here by the data.
Yeah, we may have to just change the name of this to Bursting the Bubble and just trying to help us all get outside of it. Because I fall guilty to it too, right? My reality feels like what happens to the things that we're all talking about, but we're so small relative to the broader world. And so that's part of why we wanted to do this project for ourselves and why we think it's valuable. But we're going to give you that. We got over 100 brands to look at. We got a deep dive on a bunch of individual topics. We also have a really cool sort of research report from Know about price sensitivity by age and gender. I mean, I'm just scrolling through this thing right now, 37 pages right now in Word docs of graphs and data and insights from the team as we continue to expand this. It will be live tomorrow. And as always, please feedback. Tell us what else you want to see. We can get almost anything, any view, any insight, any information. We're building out categorical results from the ad performance side, where we look at the best and worst performing categories of the month. We're going to expand on that into future episodes. So much more to come. But sign up, d2cindex.com. And we'd love to have you. We're going to be emailing with you all individually as participants in the early days and excited to continue to bring these insights. So gentlemen, I appreciate having all of you. Any last words before we sign off here?
Just say happy March. I'm hoping everybody has a great rest of their month and we start to see this consumer confidence play out and lots of revenue for everyone.
That's right. Always the case. Go get them. Appreciate you all for listening. Sign up, d2cindex.com. Talk soon.